This is the Jack Del Rio Show.
Jack Del Rio Show.
On the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network. The Jack Del Rio Show is sponsored in part by Carrie Limousine, Community First Credit Union, Ticket Exchange, Wachovia, Sonny's Barbecue, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's the voice of the Jaguars.
The voice.
Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show. Tuesday evening, late August, which means the third preseason game is upon us, which means, gosh, right after that, the first round of roster cuts are coming. Then the final preseason game, it's almost here, folks, which means that we'll be talking about the real deal not too far in the distant future. Until then, we'll keep talking about what we've seen in the preseason. The coach will join us shortly, and we'll visit with him about last Saturday night's game against the Dolphins, such as it is, and forward to preparations for this week's contest against the Buccaneers, where he sees the competition. And, of course, we'll take your calls and questions and comments. The phone number, as it has been now for 16 years, is 800-355-NFL1. That's 800-355-6351. If you're listening here in Jacksonville on our flagship station, News Radio WOKV, simply dial it 355-NFL1, 355-6351. You can also join us via Twitter if you have questions that you'd like to get in front of the coach and you've got your phone in your hand and you don't feel like calling, because some people I'm finding would much rather just tweet. It's at Jags Voice, J-A-G-S-V-O-I-C, and we will get those questions in front of the coach as well. This programming note for Saturday, obviously, weather being a factor, right? Because the 6:30 pregame show and 7:30 kickoff didn't necessarily work for us last week, did they? It's a 7:30 kick, so it's 4:30 Eastern time for the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue tailgate show from Raymond James Stadium and right here at Everbank Field. And then at 6:30, it's the Jaguars pregame show, followed by kickoff. And then afterwards, as you know now, Winn-Dixie postgame show. Pete Banaszak joins Marco Coleman and Cole Pepper. And then you can join them on the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show, which begins an hour after that. So all of that and more coming to you this week right here on these very airwaves. Jaguars, as I mentioned, will make two roster cuts in the next 8 days. Two. The first one is only five players. That's not a real difficult one, because you can put a couple of guys on injured reserve. And right away, De'Anthony Smith, you know, makes it now four guys that you've got to move, because you're going to put him there in all likelihood. So that's not a very difficult cut, although every cut requires a lot of thought. And so you know that Gene Smith and Jack Del Rio will go through that process. And then it's the cut from 75 to 53, 22 players on the day, well, it's Sunday, which is the 5th of September, but they play the game on Thursday night, the 2nd. They're not going to play players, practice players. They're going to make their decisions pretty quickly afterwards, and then they'll let that out. It'll flow out as they visit with each one of the guys in person before they make their actual announcement of what their final roster is. And, of course, there's always the possibility, depending on what they think about safety or offensive guard or wide receiver or you name the position, if there's a guy on the street that they like better, you know, they can make even more moves than that. So Gene Smith is going to be real busy over the next 8 days as he gets closer and closer to making the final cut on the roster. One of the positions that we have talked the most about, or I shouldn't say position, I should say positions, I should be plural in that, is the guard and center spots. And we had Brad Meester on our Jaguars All-Access show in Jacksonville last night, and we watched some of the tape. And Brad Meester, he's just been sensational this summer. He's down about 15 pounds. Feels good, looks good. There's no doubt that there's an energy level that exists for him now, having his buddy, Aaron Campman, in town. They were high school teammates, if you recall, at Appleton Parkersburg High School in north central Iowa. So there's a lot of that going on. And the coach has said, I believe, almost with a certainty, an air of finality, that Uche Nwaneri is going to be the starting right guard. So now what we've talked about is Keenan Forney, Justin Smiley, and Vinny Monawai battling it out there for that final spot on the left side starting. And then, of course, Justin Smiley, Vinny Monawai, or Keenan Forney, whichever two lose, the starting job will then compete for the backup at this position. So this week especially, when you're talking about Gerald McCoy, the rookie from Oklahoma, who's a number one draft pick, top draft pick, third overall for the Buccaneers, and Ryan Sims and Brian Price, another top guy in the middle there, a defensive tackle from UCLA, and Barrett Rudd, who's a real good run-stuffing defensive tackle. I think the key this week for that competition is run. Can the Jaguars run more than they have the first two games? Now, they really haven't focused on it, obviously, and you've heard Jeff say this over and over. It's a team that knows, that believes they can run the football. So they've been worried more on the passing game, getting the timing right, getting the receivers with their routes right, and developing that. Still, though, for a football team that believes it can run the ball as well as this one has over the last few years, you'd like to see a little bit more production. You'd like to see Maurice Drew with positive yardage on that side of the ledger. Now, there's no doubt, if you would have left him in the game, he would have finished in positive territory. He's that good of a running back. But you'd like to see more push. So I'm real interested this week to watch Forney and Smiley and Manuai and see who gets that push there. It is a really interesting battle because I don't think that most people would believe that Vinny Manuai might not make this team. I mean, for years, he's been one of the better run-blocking guards in the entire league, let alone the AFC, certainly the best on this team. And so now he's in the fight for his career with Justin Smiley and Keenan Forney to start. And as we've talked about so many times, you don't go from the starting lineup with a $3.5 million salary to the bench. You either renegotiate the salary, which means you take the hit in the pocketbook, or you find yourself looking for a different team. So there's some drama that's going to play out over the next 8 days. At that position in particular, remember now, the Jaguars traded draft choices for Justin Smiley. So they're believing that he's a guy that can help them. Otherwise, Gene Smith would not have parted with draft choices. That just does not happen. So let's do this. Let's take a break. When we come back, hopefully the head coach will be with us. You could test drive the new 2011 Ford Super Duty, the new 2011 Ford Mustang, or the all-new Ford Fiesta. Only at your local Southern Ford dealers. More to come on the Jack Del Rio Show after this on the Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Season ticket holders, use your Jaguars rewards card. When you purchase at least 10 gallons of Gate gasoline, you'll get $2 in Jag Bucks. For details, go to Jaguars.com. And we're joined now by the head coach of the Jaguars, Jack Del Rio, the namesake of the program. How are you, Coach?
I'm doing well. How are you tonight?
I'm good. How's the regular season routine treating you?
Good. Very well. It's good to be out of the camp grind where we're not, where we're not meeting, coaching, playing football from 6 in the morning until midnight.
You mean you have a life?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit more. But, no, it's great.
You look thin. You lose weight?
I did. And I'm not looking for it.
What are you down?
I'm down where I should be. It's not, I mean.
You're not going to give us the number?
What I lost is what I never should have gained, so. So no, I'm where I need to be.
So camp treated you well.
Yeah.
Good.
Good camp, good productive camp. And we are beginning to get healthy, although we've had a couple things come up. Other than a couple things that have come up that also will heal, we're doing pretty well.
Anything of note?
Yeah, someday.
Okay.
Someday
you don't have to.
Someday we'll note it. We're not going
to
note it tonight.
Until you have to. Absolutely. No. 355-NFL1 if you'd like to join us on the program. 800-355-NFL1 if you're outside the calling area, or at Jags Voice if you are a Twitterer. Here's one for you. It's a little bit offbeat. It says, Coach, you think I can beat you in arm wrestling?
Well.
We have no idea who it is.
Who is that?
Bjorn. I can't pronounce the last name. But he wants to know if he could beat you in arm wrestling.
I'm going to say no.
Okay. Then he wants to know if, yes or no, if you think Over the Top is Stallone's best movie.
I think his best movie was Rocky.
The original.
I thought that was the best.
All right, so proof, folks, that we answer all questions here on the Jack Del Rio Show. 355-NFL1.
Well, I'm not sure if that's entirely true. We're not going to answer all questions.
Well, okay, let's put it. We go beyond the bounds of just football occasionally. How's that? Does that fit?
Occasionally. Yeah, we'll entertain. Yeah,
we'll qualify it.
You can be outside the box a little bit.
Yeah, we won't answer them all, though. There are some that don't deserve to be answered, but. Beyond that, how was the rain delay for you?
It was okay. I mean, you just wait.
What'd
and
you do?
You know what happens. You know, first of all, we don't have a bubble. We get
you
rain.
Mean a practice
we
bubble.
Get rain here, and rain's not the problem. We practice in rain today. The lightning's the problem, and it wasn't a rain delay. It was a lightning delay.
Okay. I stand corrected.
No, I mean, I'm just saying that it's not. So we're accustomed to, because we get so much lightning here in Jacksonville, we're accustomed to having to wait until those cells move on. And there's really not a whole lot you can do. It's just not safe to be out there.
Right.
And the last thing you want to do is have something happen that you had a chance to avoid. And so when lightning's in the area, we move off the field until it's safe to be out there.
So what'd you do for 2 hours?
Watch film.
Did you?
Yeah.
You got ahead?
Sure did. Just spent some time looking at some future opponents.
What the players do?
They sat, stretched, talked.
That was the conversation that we had on the radio.
They probably had some type of rookie dance-off or something that they typically do when there's a delay.
I mean, there hasn't been one around here in 12 years. I mean, you don't see that many lightning delays in the NFL.
No, you don't.
So it's kind of an odd thing. Have you ever been a part of a delay like that?
I've been part of a delay. I've been part of a cancellation.
Well, those don't happen very often. When was that?
It was in 2000 or 2001. With Baltimore.
That's right.
And we went to Veterans Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
And we were playing the Eagles.
That turf.
And that turf. But what had happened is they were changing over from baseball to football. And, you know, it's very union up there.
Yeah.
Well, 5 o'clock struck. You know, the clock hit 5, and the union workers walked off the field. And things weren't done.
Right.
And they just say, hey, day's over.
Can't play.
And they left. And so the field wasn't ready. I mean, so we literally could not play. They hadn't changed the mound out. They hadn't done things. So it wasn't safe.
That was poor planning on someone's part, wasn't it? So they just canceled it entirely.
They tried to put something together, but, you know, it just wasn't playable.
Not going to take too many risks like that. 355-NFL-1, if you'd like to join us on the program this evening, 355-6351. Let's grab Greg from the West Side with a thought this evening. Greg, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing well, Greg. How are you tonight?
I'm doing excellent, man. I waited in the 2-hour torrential downpour for our Jets to make their home opener, and was not disappointed whatsoever. I have a question. I'd like to hear your comments off there about after the game. I went online and I listened to. I like to listen to a lot of the shows and the sports radio and listen to a lot of the news boards and the Times Union web forums and stuff. And after the game, there was a lot of negative atmosphere about that because we lost the game, and there's a lot of perceived perception of, oh no, here we go again. It's gonna be the same old year. We're gonna lose a lot of the games, and there just seems to be a lot of negative feedback going on in this town because we didn't win the game. And I'm just curious as to if you had one thing you could say to that, and to let people know that what is coming from the Jags is gonna give us to give us success. I'd like to hear your thoughts because. I personally love the Jags. I believe in them. I bleed teal, and I would love to hear what everybody else thinks. What you think to let the town know to be inspired that the best is yet to come. So I'll take your answer off the air.
All right, I appreciate it, Greg, and I appreciate you sticking it out and being a loyal fan to the end, because obviously, that was a long delay and a tough situation, and our fans were great. I mean, it was our team loved it.
It was cool to watch them all file back into the stadium.
It was awesome, and we had a great atmosphere to play in, and I know as players and coaches, we really appreciated that very much. We have been feeling a real positive vibe in our community this offseason. the negativity that you're referring to, I think there's always a part of that, and it's normally a small part that gets very loud. But my advice in terms of dealing with that is that, there was a book written a couple years back by John Gordon called The Energy Bus, and I really believe that positive energy begets positive energy, and that you can turn a team, you can turn a city, and we're working hard to do just that. And I think that there are energy vampires out there, is what John called them in this book, that kind of want to drain and whine and talk about why you can't and where's the proof and all, and really that doesn't help. I mean, it doesn't help the situation, and in fact, we as a team have to make sure that we go back to what we believe and the work ethic that we have, and we have to bring positive energy every day to what we're doing, and that becomes more of a challenge the more you have people doing that. So, what I'm trying to say is we're not going to allow people to suck our energy from us. We're going to stay positive. We do believe that the work we're putting in, the commitment we're making, that it will show. And we do believe that that's the only way you ever get better. You don't whine your way to being better. You don't complain your way to being better. You do something about it. And we are doing something. You know, we're working our tails off, and we're bringing positive energy every day. And that's what I would ask you to do, Greg. Sounds like you're a loyal fan. I would ask you to not to let the energy vampires just steal your joy. Continue to be positive about supporting this team and believe and have the faith.
So you're saying feed the positive dog, if I remember one of the lines from the book.
Absolutely.
You get to choose every day. Feed the positive
dog. It's your choice.
Feed the negative
dog. That's right. It's your choice. And, you know, the naysayers and the doubters and all that, you're always going to have that. But you don't have to feed them. You know, you don't have to give them a little credence. You can really kind of put them on ignore and choose to be positive about the way you look at things. And that's how we're going to approach it.
Appreciate the phone call, Greg. We need a break. We'll roll along. More with the head coach after this. But first, when you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. 6 Jacksonville location, Stein Mart. More fashion, less price. More to come after this on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
And welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton along with the head coach, Joe Fortunato alongside, fielding your calls at 800-355-NFL1. Plenty of tweets coming in at Jags Voice via Twitter. How about this one, Coach? It's from Scott One. He says, how is Wilford doing? Meaning Ernest Wilford, the tight end.
He's doing well. Yeah, Ernest is really, he's had a great offseason for us. Pardon me. He had a great offseason for us where he has taken the opportunity afforded by Zach Miller not being 100%.
Right.
And he's really made the most of it because he's playing the same position, that move tight end, that tight end that's going to be on the move and in space quite a bit, who we're really trying to develop Zach Miller in that role. So we have a lot of offense built around that. Well, Ernest is the guy that's getting those reps while Zach's out. He's right. Done a great job with it, and he's playing well on special teams.
What happened that year that Ernest was in Miami? I mean, this is a guy that works hard. I mean, can you figure out they tried to make the move too, and he just didn't have the success, and yet you seem to be very happy with where he is now.
Yeah, I mean, they were looking for a different guy. I mean, they were trying to make him – they signed him to be a receiver. And they paid him pretty good money to go down there and be a receiver, and it didn't work out. You know, he didn't provide what they wanted there, so they moved him to tight end, and then they were looking for a bigger, stronger guy, so it didn't work out for him. But what I always tell him is, hey, you're back home where you belong. You know, we drafted him. We love having him here. He's a good football player for us. He's a heady guy.
Top competitor.
He's top competitor, wired the right way. He's a good teammate. He's a good young man, and he's doing a nice job in his role for us.
Just to stay at that position, how is Zach Miller doing?
Better.
I know you got good news on him last week that it
we
wasn't
did.
Serious.
We did. We got good news on him, and we should get him back in the fold hopefully this week.
I mean, you're not a doctor. You don't have to disclose anything on this, but a foot injury, I mean, you've been through a lot of injuries. Is that something that you just have to take a lot more precautions with?
I just listen to the doctor.
Okay. I'm just curious.
I can't make the call on these things. I mean, some.
Well, Loggie had one in 1995 that cost him the end of his season. So I'm just curious if that's.
I think it just depends on what's going on, what happens. I think every case is different. You really have to lean on the doctors for that. It's coaches, I mean, you know, there's so little you can do when it comes to things like that because the doctor makes the call. Hopefully you have, good doctors that are going to make the right call for you, but we count on them, and until they give us the green light, he's not available.
You know how many bones there are on the human foot?
No.
26. Tendons and muscles? 100.
See there?
Well, you learned something.
I don't even know
research
that.
On it. Well, the funny thing is it's an area, obviously, that if you have a little injury, you got to be careful with, it would seem, because there's so many different interlocking parts in the foot.
Yeah, and being careful. With
football. I know, it doesn't work.
It's
so
hard.
Let me go to Mercedes Lewis real quick. You've talked about him on the field, dominant player. We showed a clip last night from your locker room after the game on our Jaguars All Access show, and Mercedes was leading the way. He was the one that was stepping up and challenging his teammates. You've talked about him on the field. Can you just share for a moment what he's become in your locker room?
Well, what his message was, I laid out there for the guys that we were going to get into a typical game week, which means that we would do our Wednesday lifting today. Therefore, we would not lift on Monday. And if you wanted to get an extra lift, you'd have to come in Sunday the day after the game. So it was optional. I didn't want to make it mandatory. It's the player's day off, so I made it optional. Well, Mercedes stood up after the game and said, yo, hey guys, you heard what Coach said. We definitely need to be a stronger football team, and I want to see us show up for that optional lift. I want to see our teammates. I want to see you guys show up. And he basically said, hey, show up.
Yeah.
We had over 50 guys in that lift.
He's
on an optional day off. Now, I'm just telling you, that's pretty strong. So that's the kind of leadership that I'm talking about where, you know, he's doing it because he really believes in his heart it's the best thing for a football team.
Right.
When you get that happening, it's special.
Well, on the field, off the field, I mean, he's your guy. I mean, you brought him in here. He's evolved in your system. I mean, that's exactly what you're looking for from 53 guys. If you have 53 of them, which the odds say you won't, but one of them goes a long way, doesn't it?
It definitely does. And let me just clarify. They're all my guys.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I love all these guys that are working their tails off for me. They're playing hard. In a lot of ways, I consider myself like a father to them. And I care about them. And so I do care about all these guys that are here. They're all, I consider my guys. It doesn't matter where they came from, how they got here originally. They're in camp with us. They're wearing the Jaguar uniform. I'm the head coach, and I love my guys.
We'll take a break on that note. Vote for your favorite MVP teacher to be the Community First Credit Union MVP Teacher of the Week. Your teacher could win club seats to a Jaguars home game. It's all part of First Down Touchdown Teachers. Visit communityfirstfl.org for the details. And we're back with more right after this on the Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Well, when the Jaguars win, everyone wins, even Joe Fortunato. At Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, get a free barbecue pork sandwich with your game day ticket stub on Mondays or Tuesdays after the Jaguars win. That's at all participating Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue restaurants. Jaguars, Buccaneers, 7:30 kickoff, weather notwithstanding, Saturday night. And we start things with 4:30 with Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue tailgate show, 6:30 for the pregame show, and then follow up the game with the Winn-Dixie postgame show and the Southern Ford Dealers scoreboard show. Grab a call or two here for the head coach. Jason is on the west side of Jacksonville. Jason, welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good. Hey, Jason.
We appreciate you, Coach Del Rio. I know that the negative voice is a loud one, but you still got some faithful fans out here. We stand behind you guys, and we see the work the guys are putting in. And I know it's different than work that we put in, but we can relate, man, being out in the heat and all that. And we just want to say I appreciate it. And I just had a couple things about the defensive line. The pass rush specialists that we brought in this year, can you just talk a little bit about how they differ from, say, like a Larry Hart to a Brian Hawkins that we used to have a couple years ago? How do these guys differ? And all the three techniques we got in, we know basically who's in the contention for that. But as far as Terrence goes, his role, who is the guys that are in there to help dispel him? And I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate the call. Okay, so where do we start with the
defensive ends?
How are they different than we've tried for years to get this pass rush defensive end, undersized guy, Hawkins, Cordova,
Brian Smith, the guy you took from Missouri,
Brian Smith, Quentin Groves. I mean, we've tried, you know, early, late, mid rounds. We've tried to find that guy for a number of years. Larry Hart is how he is different. I think the biggest thing is that Larry Hart has a powerlifting background. He's got the ability to leverage and play with torque and power, as opposed to being a smaller guy that has to beat you around the edge with speed. Now, he can do that, but he doesn't have to rely on that. And I think there are some players that have to rely on that, and when that's the case, they either beat the tackle right now or they don't, and then they don't have much of a counter. And so Larry's a little different in that he's a leverage guy that when he gets a tackle off balance, he has an ability to slip back underneath the block or actually lift the tackle. And there's a power element to his game.
Well, he did it against Jason Peters in Philadelphia, correct?
Yeah, yeah. No, he did. No, he's got the ability to do that. He's got power. He's a strong guy. He's got a very high squat, very high, you know, deadlift. He did all those kinds of things when he was a young man. And so he's got a core strength about him that's different than some of those other players. And that's why we think he'll have a better chance at being an end that can really help us affect the quarterback.
Right. The other question was the three-technique tackle versus Terrence Knighton. Can you explain what a three-technique tackle is for
well,
those people
we,
who don't know?
There's not another Terrence in our rotation. We don't have another big guy like that that can eat up the space and eat up the blocks the way he can. And he could play 3-4 nose if you know like we did when we played some 3-4 last year. He can be that guy. We have him playing our one technique, our tilted nose on the center at times, or the one technique playing the A-gap, and he's tough to move. So, you know, we don't have a guy – I mean, we really don't have a guy that is going to be able to do what he does. We'll play other players, and we're looking for that fourth tackle right now. Somebody's got to emerge and win that spot. But right now, that's an open competition.
355 NFL 1. Let's grab another call. Let's go up the road. Kevin joins us from Savannah. Kevin, welcome to the program. How are you tonight?
Thank you very much. Coach, I'm glad you're here. I have an opportunity to go back and watch the last couple of games, and I sort of rewind and full pass forward and watch plays over and over, sort of like a coach. And I've noticed the first line, in particular these first two games, on their pass protection set, I know the tackles need to drop back in order to get to cut off the angle from the defensive end, but I'm seeing the interior line dropping back for pass protection and getting set, and it's just giving the defensive line momentum and pushing the center of the line back into the quarterback. I'm wondering if they could – I'm seeing other teams where they sort of hold the line, punch them, and then do their pass protection blocking, at least in the middle of the line.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't – I mean, it's hard to comment on exactly what you're referring to, Kevin. I certainly appreciate your call. I think the line play, I think one thing that we are working on, we are trying to sort out who's going to be the guard opposite Uche and Vinny and Smiley and Keenan Forney are all in the mix right now. And in terms of technique taking them on, I think we do a solid job in terms of what we're teaching and what we're asking our guys to do schematically. I think if you look at the results of last year and how we're tracking to start this year, we're going to be better throwing the ball. We're going to be better protecting our quarterback, and we're going to be better getting their quarterbacks down. I think right now our ratio, I think we've given up two or three in the first two games. I think we've had seven or eight. So we've had a few. So that's a good way to be tracking. You know, we want to get more than we give for sure. Last year we were horrible in that department. I know we'd given up over 40 and we didn't get but 14. So, I mean, it was a terrible year. And that ratio is important to determining wins and losses. So we're going to have to protect our quarterback. In terms of what's happening in there, I can't speak directly to it. I don't know if you're seeing backups late in the game or if you're saying with our first group it's happening as well. But I know our quarterback has not been sacked a lot to start the year, and we're gonna expect our quarterback to be able to stand up and make throws and not be on the ground all the time.
All right, we're due for a break. Kevin, we appreciate the call from up the road in Savannah. We take this break and return. More to come with head coach Jack Del Rio for this timeout on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Going along here until 7 o'clock Eastern time. A couple more segments with the head coach, so let's do this. You can join us, 355-NFL1, 800-355-NFL1, or at Jags Voice, JAGSVOIC, with your Twitter questions. Here's one, Coach, since we were talking about pass rush and defending the quarterback. Peter wants to know, he says, Aaron Morgan's sack was extremely impressive. What role can he play? Defensive end, linebacker hybrid, pass rusher, practice squad. I mean, what do you see for a guy like Aaron Morgan? Undrafted, by the way, from Louisiana Monroe, if you don't know who we're talking about.
Yeah, we're excited about what he may be able to do for us. You know, he's different than a lot of the other guys. He's a linear guy. He's not real heavy. But he's exceptionally sudden in what he does, and he's nasty at getting after the quarterback. I mean, he's just different. He's kind of all over the place at times, but his motor is nonstop. He's relentless in his pursuit of the quarterback. We kind of think he might have a shot. So we're going to continue to develop him. We're going to give him more exposure, We think he has a chance. You know, a guy like Larry Hart. We think, you know, some of these young players can help affect the quarterback. So we're going to see. Now, will he be an every down defensive end that can get in there and play a five technique? No, he won't be that.
255? Yeah, no.
No, he's not even that much. Okay. No, he's a linear guy. I mean, he is wiry and he is strong, but he's not going to hold up in that role. So he's not going to be an every down defensive end. But in terms of, at least not right now. I mean, there was a guy, we played with a guy like this in Baltimore, a guy named Michael McCrary, was a little bit like this. And Tony Boselli remembers him.
Yeah, well, I remember him because you could never stop him.
I mean, and that's all Michael McCrary was. Michael McCrary weighed 240 pounds, 245.
Was that it?
That's all he weighed.
Wow.
Now, he'd weigh about 255 to start camp.
Right.
And then by the time we got to the regular season, it'd be 245. And, you know, in the Super Bowl year, you know, he was probably 238, 240.
Wow.
I mean, that's all.
Boselli tells you he was the most difficult player, Bruce Smith included, to defend because he just never stopped.
Never stopped. Relentless, you know, in pursuit of the quarterback. And he's got a little, I mean, I'm not comparing him to that guy.
Right.
Other than to say he's got a little of that in him. Yeah, some of those traits. And so he's got a chance in terms of being a young guy that can chase that quarterback.
355-NFL-1. Let's grab John, who joins us from Brooklyn, New York. John, welcome to the show.
How you doing, Coach?
Good. Hey, John.
I have a question about Derek Cox. I'm a little worried. It seems like his play has been a little off. He hasn't been covering receivers as well. Maybe I'm just wrong, but you think I should be worried about that? Or I'll hang up and listen.
Okay. Appreciate you calling all the way from Brooklyn, New York, John, and listening to the show. Now, Derek Cox is, is there concern? There's concern any time a guy is not, you know, playing at the level that you know he's capable of. Now, I think in fairness to him, you know, to understand that he kind of fought his way through some minor soft tissue things that he was dealing with throughout camp and didn't miss a beat, you know, never missed a rep, got all the experience, got all the timing, got all that stuff down. So as he continues to get back to 100% physically, I think you'll continue to see him sharpen up. I think he's going to be a good player for us. We need him to be a good player for us. I think some of the detail of the position has gotten away from him from time to time, but he's a good kid. He cares, and he's got long arms, and he can run, and he's going to be fine out there. But we're going to need him, like the entire secondary, to leverage things and to play well. He was involved in that big long run last week,
right,
when he did not leverage the ball properly. We just cannot have those kind of plays happen back there, and he understands that. But we expect him to continue to grow and mature as a football player and help us win games.
John, appreciate the question. We need a break. We'll come back with more with head coach Jack Del Rio after this on the Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton with the head coach. We've got about 9 minutes left in the program. If you've got a thought, at Jags Voice for those of you who tweet, 355-NFL-1 for those of you who like to call. I got a question from Scott. Wants to know what overall grade safeties from the first two preseason games. How's that position? Because that's a battle that you addressed the very first Jack Del Rio Show of the season.
Right.
One to watch. So what do you think?
Why don't you replay what I said in that first show? What did I say, Joe?
I don't remember.
You don't remember either.
Well, I kind of
we'll
get
it,
the
we're going to let
gist.
It play out. I mean, the bottom line is we're going to let it play out. I think I wouldn't try and grade it. I think what I'd rather do is just talk about the need for that position to play at a higher level.
Okay.
I think that's clear. I think our back end, I think our front's coming. I think our front's going to be real solid, and our back end needs to be. And we need to sort through that. We'll continue to work through it. Right now, I would say, again, I said this last time we talked about the safety play. I said that Anthony Smith is our most physical safety. I think Reggie is our most athletic safety. I think Gerald Alexander is our most aware safety. Sean Considine has been a valuable backup safety and special teamer. And, you know, he made some plays in the scrimmage and in the first preseason game, but he's leveled off a little bit. So there's really not a clear-cut winner right now.
Right.
And we're looking for one. So we'll see how it shakes out. We're going to let the two guys that we feel at the end of the day we can count on the most, we're going to let those guys play. And we're still sorting through that. The guy that's come on a little bit, Courtney Green, has put himself in the conversation with his play. He's a physical safety.
Sure. Special teams guy 4 years ago.
Yeah, and Tyrone Brackenridge has played a little bit back there. Now, Tyrone's, you know, more of a kind of a corner body type, safety, speed, range, things like that. So he's kind of in a tweener mode. He is a great special teams player for us. So, you know, we're going to see how it all shakes out. We've got, you know, a little bit more time to work on it. You know, I think that – I do think this. You know, people always ask about Reggie Nelson. I do think this. If you're fair to him, you have to respect the way the young man has responded. He's been challenged. He was embarrassed by what happened last year when he didn't play well, and he knows he didn't. And we didn't as a team play well. I mean, you know, defensively, a lot of different spots were not playing very well either. So, but he has worked his butt off. I mean, he has really – he's gained weight. He's worked hard with his coaches. He's worked hard on the field, worked tackling every day. He's worked hard at it. I think his tackling actually is better right now than it's ever been. He made a great play today, ball hawking, you know, came out of the middle, came out of the hash, and went to the sideline and made an interception. It was a Pro Bowl-type play. And I'm rooting for the young man. I hope that he can put it all together for us. He's going to have to earn it. You know, he was given the job when he got here, and I think maybe took some things for granted. I think he understands the need to work right now, and he's working. He's working very, very hard. So I think that's a good story. You know, when a kid responds to being challenged and bounces back and does everything you ask him to do and works his tail off, I think that's a positive. And not only for him personally, but for our football team. So we'll see where it goes.
All right, we need a break. We'll come back and wrap it up with the head coach. More to come with Jack Del Rio right after this. You're listening to Jaguars Radio. Got about a minute and a half left. We've hardly touched on special teams, but you talked about Tyrone Brackenridge being such a good special teams player. You got a lot of guys like that. I mean, Kasim Osgood and Montel Owens and Courtney Green and Paul Kuharski, who writes for ESPN, did a AFC South Special Teams Player of the Year last year, and it was William Middleton. I mean, you've got a lot of guys. Your special teams, the expectation for them has got to be pretty high this year.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it's really we've got a really good core. And now we've got a couple exciting return candidates.
Didn't even touch on that.
And then I think for us, in order to be a special teams unit, we've got to have our field goal kicker has got to kick at a higher percentage. You know, we've got to get in that 90% range. We can't sit in the 70s or low 80s. We've got to get and part of that is on me not trying so many long field goals. Part of that is my responsibility.
Sure.
But because he has a strong legs, we have tried a bunch of long field goals, and that doesn't help. But I think he's got to kick well, and I think Pods has to continue to be quick and be directional so that we're maximizing. He doesn't have a real powerful leg. He does have directional ability, and he is quick. So we've got to keep getting that net, you know, in that 37, 38 range, which is a winner.
All right. Coach, thanks for your time tonight.
My pleasure. Had some good calls. Appreciate the folks that called in tonight.
That's the head coach, Jack Del Rio. Have a great night, everybody.
This has been the Jack Del Rio Show. Join us again next Tuesday night at 6 for your chance to talk to the head coach. The Jack Del Rio Show is a presentation of the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.